Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Absolute Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers. It's time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Hi, we're Rachel and
Sonia.
And this is Israel is Real. Boker Tov Lekol HaMazinim.
Tzoraim Tovim B'Yisrael.
From WSMN 1590, this is Nashua's News and Talk. I'd like to always start by saying that we're a community-supported program, so we depend on your support to stay on the air. We're always fundraising. We have great sponsors, and we will tell you about them in a minute. And to learn how to sponsor us or to contribute, you can visit our website at www.israelisreal.weebly.com. israelisreal.weebly.com. You can also email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com. israelisreal1590@gmail.com. So one of our wonderful sponsors is Vision.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know Israel is approximately about the size of New Jersey? To receive Vision's email alerts and be informed about Vision educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. www.nh4israel.org.
And our music is most often brought to you by
you.
Yours truly,
by
Rachel.
You.
So drawing on the wisdom well of ancient mystical and spiritual traditions that have emerged out of Israel, I am an award-winning American-Israeli troubadour, et cetera, et cetera. You can find me at www.rahelmusic.com. That's R-A-H-E-L music.com. My music is suitable for all ages, so please do find me. Every week, and I was very happy today to this week to hear from a listener that she really, really enjoys our Hebrew words. although maybe, you know, hard to remember them, but she really does enjoy hearing them. So this goes out for you, Noreen, if you're listening. Our Hebrew word today is sport.
Well, it will be very, very easy to remember this word. So sport, it's sport. It's in Hebrew like in English. And sport, it's commonly defined as an organized, competitive, and skillful physical activity requiring commitment and fair play. In a sport, the key factor are the physical capabilities, and I would say also the mental capabilities, and skill of the competitor when determining the outcome, who is winning or who is losing. And in Israel, the most popular sport is soccer. However, we will deal today about baseball.
Oh, you gave it away. Okay, we are going to talk about baseball today, but before we do and before we meet our guest, we're going to hear a song that can be found on Alice, Where Are You Going? A children's CD by Rachel and Betsy Rosenberg.
Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back, so it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Baseball is the national sport of the United States. Its true roots lie in two English games of the late 18th century. In 1845, the first official rules were drawn up by the Knickerbocker Club of New York. During the Civil War, it was the most popular game of the Yanks and slowly migrated south with the enthusiastic rebels. The rules of the game are: each time the batter misses the ball, it's a strike. Three strikes and the batter steps down and is out.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and cracker jacks. I don't care if I never get back. So it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
All right. I think that gave you a little bit of a clue what we're talking about today, even though Sonia gave it away. Our guest today is Ari Alexenberg. The Israel Baseball League is the professional baseball league of Israel. Ari Alexenberg is a savvy southpaw who uses a varied arsenal to keep hitters off balance. Despite not having played organized baseball until he was 23, he coached teams in Little League through Division I, College, San Diego State University. He's also pitched in semi-pro ball. He has a passion for the art and science of pitching. Being well into his 40s, are you? We won't say. He brings a wealth of coaching and playing experience to the Israel Baseball League. And welcome, Shalom Boker Tov, Ari Alexenberg.
Thank you. Thanks for it.
I will say that we did find you through Facebook, and we're very happy.
Thanks for having me here. I'm glad to be here.
If you don't mind, we always like to tell our listeners a little bit about our guests, so we'll let you do that talking. Tell us about yourself a little bit.
Okay. Well, as a child, I lived in Israel for 5 years, born in the States, and lived here till I was 7, lived there from 7 to 11, went back when I was 16, and I'm 48 now, so I've been in the States most of my life. My whole family lives in Israel. Always been a sports fanatic. Absolutely adore sports. And baseball was my ultimate passion. But, you know, growing up in Israel, when I did, there was no baseball in Israel. And also, I grew up in a very Orthodox home. So even when I came back here, I could never play because we were Shomer Shabbat. And games were on Shabbat, and I went to yeshiva, and we didn't get out of yeshiva till well after the kids were practicing. So I used to go watch the Little League games and wish I could be part of it, but didn't have the opportunity until later in life. But one thing I did do, especially I had a very, very close friend of mine. We still are very close. His name's Yitzhak Solomon. And what we would do is, when I was growing up in New Jersey, we played stickball. And that we could play. We became great, great. We had a lot of talent. We were really good. And we couldn't play in the organized Little League, but we played against everybody who was in stickball. And what we would do is, we actually made a good living as kids because we'd hustle. We'd go from town to town with our yarmulkes, and they thought, like, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing. And we had the Ari and Yitzi Baseball Association. We documented everything. We still have a book, a thick book,
wow,
with every score,
wow,
recorded, who we played and how much money we made, and the whole thing. So,
well, they put bets on you, huh?
Well, we'd say, you know, you want to play? Sure. Yeah. How about we put a bet on this?
Pretty serious sport.
You know. So, you know, we had a lot of fun doing that, and that was my way to, you know, stay connected and play baseball. But I never got the opportunity to play organized baseball till I was actually 23, 24 years old. I was out of the house.
Are you sure? I mean, it sounds like you were pretty organized.
Organized meant, you know, right, call up Yitz, walk down to the local school and say, hey, anybody here want to play with a tennis ball and a stick and a broomstick? That's stickball.
Did you see the movie The Chosen?
I haven't, but I know about Chaim Totek's book. I know about that, yes.
And you know, he's a yeshiva bachur.
Exactly.
And, you know, ends up playing baseball. And
they're making a movie about this, and they always bring up
The Chosen.
That movie and others. I didn't get a chance to play till I was organized ball. And, you know, when you love the sport like that, you know, you look at the guys in their uniforms and the scoreboards and the beautiful fields, and you want to be part of it, and you can't. And it's just... it was rough. And I think, you know, coming from an Orthodox household, there really wasn't a lot of respect for sports. It's all about education and learning. And they didn't, my family quite didn't quite understand my passion. It's stupid, you know, it's a nonsense. When are you going to grow up and stop chasing a ball? Till today, you know, I can get a $10 million contract with the Red Sox, and my mom would say, yeah, but, you know, when are you going to get your doctorate? So that's just the that's the nature of where I came from. But over the years, my parents realized this isn't just a, this is a passion that runs very deep for me and something that do you want me to just keep talking about?
Yeah, no, I'm, as you're talking, you know, it's sport, music, things. You know, I'm a musician, and you get the same thing. You know, when are you going to get a job?
Right, right.
You know,
but this is in your blood. This is what you love. This is, you know, and you know, it's what is so meaningful. You know, and it's hard for people who don't understand sport to. I get it, but it's just like an artist, like you're saying. It's the same thing. It's you know, what you bring to this earth, and for me, sport speaks to me. You know, and baseball in particular. And baseball is interesting because. I digress, but baseball really connects to, of all sports, to the Jewish world.
She's like, can't stop laughing.
Yeah, she's just cracking up. So I'm not sure if this is good or bad, the laughter.
No, I am.
Are you laughing with us? Or
In my early childhood, the boys used to play this kind of, not baseball, but the stick baseball.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, oh, they show that they have a lot of possibilities to get the piece of stick very, very well, but I never thought that this is actually a sport.
Yeah.
I said they've been very boring.
You know what? In America, I'd argue that baseball is more of a religion than even a sport. So
definitely. Yeah.
But, you know, it really is a very Jewish game in many ways of all the sports, because there's no sport. I mean, it's such an intellectual sport. If you open up the sports pages and you look at the baseball, it's just loaded with box scores and statistics and analysis more than any. You look like you're looking at a page of Talmud, of Gemara. You know what I mean? Really. We weren't big on playing baseball. You always went to shul, the synagogue, on Shabbos, on Shabbat, and all the kids talked about endless statistics about why the Yankees are better than the Mets or the Mets in New York, you know? And you know, we delve into the
You've been very good at math.
Well, math, and you could be talking the same thing about Gemara, you know? Yeah, everyone had arguments that ran deep about why my player is better than yours, you know?
Right. Well, you got time to sit on the bench while you're waiting to get on bat, so you got to do something, right?
Right, right. Especially if you're a pitcher. You sit on the bench a lot, so you pitch only once every few days. So.
Actually, yeah, you're a pitcher. Do we have to go to break, or we got another minute?
You got another minute or so.
Okay, tell us about pitching. I mean, your tafkid, your role is
pitching. Yeah, there's a big difference between playing stickball and playing organized baseball. And I was 23. And when you're 23 and you're playing an adult baseball league, it's very hard. The first thing question they ask if you want to make the team is, well, where did you play in college, and blah, blah, blah. And I would sit in the backyard with books and videos and teach myself how to do, you know, I had a really good fastball, so I could throw really hard. But when you play baseball, you need to do a lot more than that. You need to have location, you have different pitches, you have to throw off speed.
Yeah, there's
pitches,
actually skill involved in talent. I mean, you know,
tremendous amount. tremendous. So there's one difference between having the talent, there's another one of knowing how to harness it. And you know, it takes years and years to do that. So I started trying out for teams and made an absolute fool of myself. I always got the chance to play because they'd say, well, you'd see me throw and they'd say, oh my God, this guy's got great stuff. But then I'd make an absolute fool of myself on the field. And then eventually I'd move from team to team until I figured it all out. And it took me years and I was well into my adult and I didn't give up until I really figured it out and became a really good pitcher. But by that time, the idea of becoming a professional pitcher had been lost. I was well into my 20s. I was married, had kids, I'd make a living. So I played, you know, amateur ball in the summers, and I was very competitive with the college kids, you know, the old guy, and even now they call me grandpa. But,
you don't look like grandpa.
I do next to an 18-year-old. So that's essentially, you know, what had happened. And my kids grew up, and I started coaching. So teaching people how to play baseball, which is a great love of mine, and I did that for many years. And then a crazy thing happened with the Israel Baseball League, which is, you want me to go into that?
No, we're going to have to wait. Let's leave that mystery until after the break. So we're going to cut for a break now. This is Israel is Real with Ari Alexenberg and WSMN 1590. אצבעות רוקדות, עליזות הן ושמחות. עשר אצבעות רוקדות, אך לאט מתעייפות.
1590 WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
The Telegraph, keeping you connected to your community for pennies a day.
When news breaks,
The Telegraph is there. When the community needs a watchdog, The Telegraph is there. When it's time to celebrate the accomplishments of our young athletes and scholars, The Telegraph is there, all for pennies a day. The Telegraph has been recognized for 7 years in a row as the best small daily newspaper in New England by the New England Press Association. Find out why one of New England's best daily newspapers is your daily newspaper for only pennies a day.
Hey, Mom, I appreciate you stopping by, but I've got to get going soon.
Really? Where are you going?
The kids and I are going to get our seasonal flu vaccines. Glenn already got his at work.
Well, I get mine every year because I'm older, but you're all young and healthy. You don't need it.
Actually, we do. Glenn's boss lost a nephew to the flu last year, and he was a totally healthy kid. And my friend Maria always gets her kids vaccinated. Her doctor told her 20,000 kids are hospitalized because of the flu every year, and some even die from it.
So it sounds like getting them vaccinated is the right way to go.
Getting vaccinated instead of risking the flu is the right choice for all of us.
Seasonal influenza is a serious disease that kills about 36,000 Americans each year and results in more than 200,000 hospitalizations, including over 20,000 children. Health officials recommend annual vaccination for all kids 6 months through 18 years. Get fluent. Learn the flu facts. Visit PreventChildhoodInfluenza.org.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Thanks for supporting the local businesses you hear advertised and highlighted every day on 1590 WSMN.
Ma osot sot sot hayadayim haktanot. Ma osot sot sot hayadayim haktanot. Hen olot lemala veyordot lemata. ומגיעות לאמצע. מה עושות סוד סוד הידיים הקטנות? מה עושות סוד סוד הידיים הקטנות? And we're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, with Israel is Real. We are two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. And we urge you to visit our website at www.israelisreal.weebly.com, israelisreal.weebly.com, and help us stay on the air. One of our wonderful sponsors who's been loyal to us since the beginning, and we're very grateful for, is Vern Main. Countries depend for much of their success and security on their intellectual prowess and advanced technology. Many companies from abroad and here depend on the patent attorneys at Vern Main and Associates to obtain U.S. or global patent protection for their new ideas. Vern Main and Associates is an intellectual property law firm right here in Nashua. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialists at Vern Main and Associates at their offices on 100 Main Street in Nashua or on the web at vernmain.com. That's www.vernmain.com, V-E-R-N-M-A-I-N-E.com, vernmain.com. And we're back speaking with Ari Alexenberg, great pitcher. He was telling us about pitching. We're talking about Israel baseball and what it's like.
All right, so the Israel Baseball League. So it was kind of weird. So I had been already now 45 years old, long past what you would think would be my professional opportunity to play baseball. And
what is the best? What is the best age?
Well, you know, obviously, that's a tough question. The best players typically are in their 20s, and when they're in their 30s, they wind down. There are there are some pitchers that can play into their 40s. It's much rarer for a person to be in a position player, non-pitcher, to be into their 40s, though it does happen. I think there's one pitcher in the major leagues right now who's 47, and I think after that, it's about 40. And then everyone is usually in 20s or 30s. But that's already having made a long career in the major leagues. You usually start when you're in your 20s. If you get to the 40s, you have a very long career. You don't start in your 40s. That's never happened. What happened with in my situation was I was playing amateur ball at a high level and doing very well. I was a very good pitcher. I don't remember who told me. It might have been my wife, who's always been very supportive about this. Said, you know, I read they're starting a professional baseball league in Israel. And to me, that was like, there's sort of this bitter irony. You got to be kidding me. I'm just too old to play, and now they actually have a professional baseball league. And to me, the idea of playing professional baseball is wonderful. To play in Israel, where I couldn't play because I was an Orthodox Jew and because I lived in Israel, you got to be kidding me. And because I came from an Orthodox home, this league was going to be Shomer Shabbat. They would not play on Saturday. So even my parents, who said you can't play, would have approved on this. So I feel like, my God, that's just so wrong. But it was very exciting. And they had tryouts all over the world to try to get players at a high level to compete. And they ended up having tryouts. Actually, the general manager of the Red Sox, Dan Duquette, before Theo Epstein, was in charge of getting the players for the league. So he was a critical part of this whole league. And that in itself was another, you got to be kidding me. The gentleman of the Red Sox, my favorite team, is scouting players for the Israel base. The whole thing just, it didn't make sense. It was a dream, you know. Unfortunately, I was too old. And everyone was encouraging me. You got nothing to try out. Why not? And the first tryouts, I had tryouts in, California, Florida, I think maybe Texas, Dominican Republic. We had players from 9 different countries he recruited. Dominican Republic had tryouts, and there was tryouts in Israel. The first tryouts were in Massachusetts. So I think, again, you know, what are the chances? I don't have to go anywhere, a 2-hour ride, and I can actually try out. And I didn't. I skipped it because everyone was trying to encourage me. I said, who the hell going to make a fool of myself? I'm 45 years old. I'm playing with these 20 years old. Who wants the new league, professional league with a 45-year-old? And I skipped it, and it started haunting me that I had skipped it. You know, I had a shot. What the heck? You know, it was sort of like God giving you, like, I'm giving you a chance. What else can I do, you know?
It was all laid out there on the table for
you.
Yeah,
and I didn't take it. And then it got even crazier. The next tryout, my father calls me, who have always been like, had sort of no respect for sports, but sort of understood what had been lost in my opportunity. And he said, do you realize there was one professional level field in all of Israel, in Petah Tikva? The town of Petah Tikva, which is where my parents live. And that's where the next tryouts were going to be. And you got to be kidding me. The one field is where my parents live. Again, my father says, I'm buying you a ticket. You get on the plane. You're trying out. You get nothing to lose. So I did.
They came around for you, huh?
I got to take this opportunity. And I prepared myself for about a month, got in good shape, and went out there. You know, tryouts are a snapshot. You got like a very brief, you know, a million
Three
people
minutes.
Trying out, and you got to show your stuff, and you got to attract Dan Duquette's attention. And again, Dan Duquette in itself was, I mean, he's the guy who signed, you know, Kevin Youkilis, Manny Ramirez, Pedro Martinez, Jason Varitek, and on and on. I mean, he's a superstar.
Even I heard
some
of those names.
And I wanted to make sure I got noticed by him. So before even the tryouts, I went over to him. I said, hi, I introduced myself. And I told him I came from the States for this tryout. And he looked at me, and his favorite term is buddy. We're friends now. And he goes, he looked at me and said, buddy, you came a long way for a tryout. And he just walked away. And I felt like, oh, my gosh, I'm doomed. I'm just doomed. But, you know, I tried out. I did well, pitched really well. I sat down, dug out after my appearance, and kept making the cuts. You know, went through a whole day and cut until I finally got a chance to pitch in a simulated game. Did really well. Sat down, and then Dan Duquette came, sat next to me, started asking me questions and taking notes. I knew that was a good sign. So crazy enough, a couple days later, I get a sign. You know, Mazel Tov, Dan Duquette recommends that we sign you to a contract to play. So that's how I got hooked up in this baseball league.
And it was hooked up, eh?
It was an amazing, amazing experience. It was. I can't even describe how magnificent it was. Being, you know, loving baseball and loving Israel. sitting there in the dugout with people from nine different countries, or these Dominican teammates. So everyone's in their 20s. They were a very different crowd. So, you know, it was all about baseball and girls for them. So it was interesting dugout talk, you know.
I know George wants to ask a question, but sure. I just wanted to know, were the people who were in the triads, were they all Jewish?
No. No, most people were not Jewish. And most people were not Israeli. They had, by law, they tried to include two or three Israelis to play on the teams. They were not up to the level of playing, but the idea was that the league would bring high caliber baseball, and they would learn, and it would elevate the whole game in Israel, in the amateur ranks, etc. They'd learn how professional and the league works, and it's a whole different ball game when you see someone who's an amateur Israeli star to play with against professionals from the States. Most of the guys had played minor league ball here, were trying to catch on, college stars, and many of the guys got pro contracts afterwards in the States and all right. over. So it was very it was an amazing experience. And like I said, being a lover of Israel, I mean, sitting there seeing the Israeli flag and hearing Hatikva before every game is remarkable. And one of the things, like I talked about that scrapbook that I had that we kept, one of the things was like Kenny Holtzman, who was the great Jewish pitcher. I have a picture of him throwing out the first pitch of the 1973 World Series, and it's in my scrapbook. Uh-huh. And he was my manager in Israel. I mean, and he was one of my heroes. For that to come around was just remarkable. And then my manager after him actually was Tony Ferreira, who was not Jewish, and he had amazing stories. He was with the Yankees, and good friends with Mickey Mantle, and he loved to sing Hatikva before the games. Tony Ferreira, he sat there and he'd say, "I have no idea what the words mean, but boy, do I love this tune," you know. And he'd just sing out, Hatikva.
Well, the Israeli team really, really was benefiting from the pros.
Absolutely.
You trained, so whatever's continued from there became really well trained and good opportunities.
From the amateur level, my understanding was the amateur they have about 3,000 amateur players in Israel, and it went up like 40% the next year after the professional league because it had such a positive feeling. It was really it was just remarkable, for kids to be able to get involved and see these games and chase the balls that are foul and they get to keep them. You don't have stuff like that in soccer, And we were very close, It's sort of like minor league baseball here. We were very close to the fans and crowd, and, they loved getting autographs. And it was a very close bond between the fans and the players. And certain towns were more than others. Beit Shemesh had a great following, They ended up winning the whole thing. I was on the Pioneers. We were horrible. We were last place.
More
brutal.
American clientele. Over there, maybe know the game a little bit better, right?
Most of the fans who came out were Americans, because you had a base of Americans who appreciated baseball.
Right.
The idea is, in a league like this, is to work. You have this base of Americans, but to try to slowly start marketing to the amateur and get a grassroots movement for the Israelis to appreciate the game. And like any sport, and you look at soccer,
learn the game
here,
and then get into it.
Exactly,
not familiar with the game, so.
Right? And it's hard to baseball's a tough game to appreciate. It takes a lot of understanding of nuance, to see how magnificent a game it is.
Sonia's going to have to go to a game now.
Yes.
It's
piquing her curiosity.
Yeah. George, this is our tech. Thanks,
yes.
George. You wanted to ask a question.
Oh, yes, I did, if I could step up to the plate, so to speak. you talked earlier about how baseball is looked at almost as a religion here in the States, which it really is. We have Red Sox Nation. I'd like to know if in Israel baseball is regarded as highly as it is here in the States. And what is it about baseball that unites so many people from so many different nationalities, whether you're Dominican or Venezuelan or Jewish? What is it about baseball, do you think?
Well, first, about religion, baseball in Israel, not at all.
No, okay.
It is to the Americans there.
Yeah.
And this doesn't just go for Israel. It's pretty much any country. It doesn't have baseball in its blood. It's not a religion. It is to the people who understand the game.
Soccer is the religion over there.
Soccer is the religion of the world, really. I mean, if you look at soccer in South America, Europe,
Right.
So really, a lot of, I think any sport is being brought up. If you're brought up with a sport and you played in leagues with your friends and your father, and, they become sort of these bonds. And so it really is, I think,
any sport. I think baseball in America, and it could be in other countries, I don't know. I could tell you one thing. If we think it's religion here, it takes on a whole other meaning in Dominican. And Dominican players I played with, for us, particularly for me, for the Americans, it was a wonderful opportunity to play. For them, it's a way out of poverty. It's right. A much, much more serious situation than here. It's more than just a dream of I love baseball. It's more than a career. It's a really a whole different level of appreciation for it in a different way. Yeah. But it's baseball. I think we have sort of a tradition also in families. I mean, the idea of having a catch with your dad, that kind of things. Your dad coaches your teams, or yeah. You know, teaches you how to throw a ball and gets your first glove. There's sort of this almost lore around it. If you look at Field of Dreams, you know, there's nothing more touching than, you know, playing ball with your family. So I think there's something special about that game more than anything else that is a little bit deeper, maybe than you have in other sports.
If you build it, it will come.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know what's remarkable? Speaking of that, I mentioned it was one professional baseball field in Israel before the league. It was created in Baptist Village. Yeah. This Baptist guy loved baseball and built this magnificent baseball field. But there was no baseball in Israel. Yeah. No one played on it. It was remarkable. And then eventually, they start having an amateur league. Who would have known they'd actually have professional baseball on this field that he just built? It really was one of these Field of Dreams.
If you build,
build it,
they'll
and
come.
They came. Yeah. And it really was. That was amazing.
And some friends of mine in Kibbutz Gezer, I know they had a.
Oh my God, the Kibbutz Gezer. It was my favorite.
Hey, Danny and Patches, if you're listening.
That field, that was the most touching games I've ever had. I couldn't get enough of those games. We had Solomon's Fields in the outfield on one side. You had Sunflowers in the outfield on the other side. Right. The sun would set in the back. We'd play at dusk, you know, and into the sunset. And you had these, you know, it felt like you were just, you know.
I was at a game there once.
Oh, you were? Yeah, okay. Yeah. It was just a remarkable, as a player, I would literally, after the games, I just appreciate every Monday, I'd go out into the stands and sign autographs, look at the sun setting, and know that in 6 months, I'd be in the snow of New England in an office job saying, this is the best time your life can get. You know, it was just remarkable. And I always often, you know, I was in my 40s and I thought to myself, these 20-year-olds who have this opportunity to get paid to play a game they love have no idea how lucky they are right now. You know,
well, you know, I have to tell you a secret. I did try to play softball, and you know, I lived in Mali Damim.
Oh.
And a friend of mine roped me into becoming, they were setting up a team there, women's softball. And I admit it, I did join the team.
How'd it go?
And it was good, actually. Yeah. It was fun. I learned how to pitch and throw and stuff like that.
Almost
and
all Americans?
Bat, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And also religious girls in skirts. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, you can imagine. And we did play a game over, you know, there's a women's softball team. So I was wondering, tell me about the teams. You know, you mentioned that the Jewish teams, you know, the teams out there and the players.
The league, the Israel Baseball League, we had, it was about 120 players. 100 of them were from, I said, 9 different countries around the world. They broke it up into 6 different teams. And they sort of tried to build the teams in places where it had American populations. And they even made the uniforms a rivalry. So like Modine was New York Mets. And Art Chamsky, the ex-New York Met, was their manager. And, you know, they had Ron Bloomberg, who was an ex-Yankee, was the manager of the Beit Shemesh team. And they all wear pinstripes. So they had the rivalries sort of built in.
Which team were you on?
I was on the Pioneers, Petah Tikva Pioneers.
Halut team, the Pioneers.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. So,
which
and
you are, you were the
and
pioneer,
we had some amazing talent. We had, like, for example, one of our players was a guy named Abel Marino, who was a number 3 prospect in the Angels organization here. Had rated the number 1 changeup in their organization. There was some issues with visas and bringing in things illegally. They got banned from playing. A few of the players got banned from playing in the United States, even though they had phenomenal minor league careers and at the peak of their game. And we had this other guy, Maximo Nelson, who was clocked in the Yankees organization, throwing 101. When he was with us in the league, he was throwing like 97, 98, which is extremely high even for the major leagues here. He ended up getting a contract to play in the major leagues in Japan, which he's playing for now and doing well. So it was really a lot of interesting talent. We had, like I said, a Japanese player from Colombia, Australians who were quite good, which is interesting, and a lot of Americans, Canadians, and I think we had a Mexican. But it was just amazing, and it was great to have the major leaguers
great,
being
isn't
our managers.
Isn't that great to have all those, you know, cultures coming in, and you probably learned a lot from each other. Just,
oh, absolutely.
You know,
I mean, Look, Kenny Holtzman, it was my manager for a great part of it, and had difficulty adjusting to being a manager. And was somewhat contentious and was difficult times. And difficult to play for him. He ended up leaving, but he was actually, I learned a lot from him, and I think everybody did. You know, you were able to, if you were open to learn and realize what you had, I think everybody learned so much. I know I learned a tremendous amount. It's a whole different ball game when you're playing at an amateur level and then suddenly you're playing with pros. And it keeps going. And even here, I mean, as you play minor league ball, from going from A-ball, AA, AAA, you keep learning, you know, how to hone your skills a little bit better and better until either you can't compete or you have to figure out how to, you know, make adjustments so that you can compete.
I think the world of politics is missing the boat here. I think that the way to peace is through the game.
Well,
and maybe we get them all playing baseball.
You know, look,
you know, we got a chance.
That would be great. They actually have. Look, in Israel, in terms of soccer, they have Arabs and Jews playing together. And the championship team a few years ago was Sakhnin, I think, which was Arabs and Jews.
Sakhnin.
I mean, the national Israel team is comprised of Arabs and Jews, and they play very well together. So.
Yeah, and they probably love it. I mean, you know, there's peace within the sport.
There's a bond. I mean, what's amazing
bond,
about
exactly.
sports is when you get on the field, everybody's on the same team.
You know,
it doesn't matter if you're rich, it doesn't matter if you're poor, it doesn't matter what you're, if you have your left and your right. We're all on the same team, we all have the same goals, and we're all human beings. And there's a lot to be said for that.
It works that way in music, too. All right, we have to take a break. Okay. So this is WSMN 1590, Israel. Israel will be back with Ari Alexenberg.
ידיים מרימים כי זה כל כך נעים
אצבעות 1590 WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
Hi, Dandy Davis for Snow Country, brought to you by SunAndSki.com. Skiers and riders get up to 50% off and a $20 coupon during the end of ski season blowout only at SunAndSki.com. Use the promo code SNOW. We all love to get out spring skiing and riding, but do you get a chance to do it when it's 70 and 80 degrees outside and still good side-to-side coverage? I had that chance yesterday at Mount Sunapee, New Hampshire. Great, soft, easy to turn in snow. Leaf was enjoying it in Vermont at Jay Peak.
Still very substantial snow cover, even after a little bit of rain. They didn't get quite as much as the rest of New England. And, of course, whether you're taking trails like Gold Run or maybe Jet, which is a personal favorite, you're definitely in great shape with great turns on soft snow. And even some of the glades still have very good coverage at Jay Peak. I'm Leif Erickson.
Mount Sunapee riding strong for 50 runs with their Slush Cup coming up this Saturday. Ragged Mountain with about 15 trails at Bretton Woods, still an impressive 30 miles of terrain. Sunday River ready to ride on 8 peaks and 112 trails. Killington with over 50 miles. More at snowcountry.com. I'm Andy Davis.
I'm Ann Talbot Kleeman of the New Hampshire Neurospine Institute in Bedford. Each year in New Hampshire, 10% of all youth hockey athletes report a concussion during the season. Female hockey players are twice as likely to suffer a concussion than male players. Some are serious and can be life-threatening or life-altering.
Hi, I'm Gabe Goche of the Manchester Monarchs. As a professional athlete, I know the importance of trying to prevent serious head, neck, and spine injuries while playing the game I love. That is why the Manchester Monarchs are teaming with the experts at the New Hampshire Neurospine to help spread the word about sports concussions and other spinal type injuries that do occur. From wearing the right helmet to proper care and treatment, we want to help educate players, families, and coaches.
There are nearly 3 million sports concussions in the U.S. each year and hundreds in New Hampshire. Please take these injuries seriously, as it may save a career or life. Go to ManchesterMonarchs.com and NHNeurospine.com to learn more and join our team.
Check on the program schedule or listen live on your computer. It's all at WSMNradio.com.
Hine kadur, vihine kadur. וכדור גדול מעל הראש. בואו נספור אותם. אחד, שתיים, שלוש. חמש ציפורים, בלי בית בגן. חמישה עצים, בודדים בבוסטן. בואו אלינו אל בן העלים. את הקן ננדנד, וייקו נעים.
And we're back with Israel is Real. This is WSMN 1590. I'm Rachel, and this is
Sania.
And we're speaking with Ari Luxenberg all about Israel baseball. Baseball in Israel and all around. Ari, we're at the last leg of our show, so we want to get as much as possible. But I know that you've got a movie.
Yes.
There's been a movie being produced, so tell us about that.
Okay. Actually, before I even get into that, just for a minute, I just want to say a couple of things. We were pioneers, because what happened is all the players lived together in Kfar Yarok, in a field. And it's unprecedented that people from on different teams all loomed together. And we lived together morning till night for 2 months, 2.5, 3 months.
All the teams.
And it created an amazing brotherhood, a bond of people that, till today, were all sort of very close. That in itself was a wonderful experience, you know. And actually, I'm playing one player here from New Hampshire, who's a good friend, Jeff Hastings, who played for the Nashville Pride.
We're going to see the Pride in July, on my birthday.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, Jeff played for them before he came to Israel. As far as the movie's concerned, when I, you know, at my advanced age, got signed to play in this book contract, we had, it was in the papers all over the place. It was all over the country that this happened, and someone, a local filmmaker, saw this and thought it was an amazing story, what had happened to me, and wanted to make a movie. So the guy who's making the movie is Steve Sanger. It's Sanger Communications, actually sangercommunications.com, and he's doing a great job. It's been a long process.
It's S-A-N.
What's that? S-A-N-G-E-R. And he's become a good friend and is putting a lot of resource and work. They actually came to Israel with a crew to do work, and we've done a lot of work here in the States, and it's in the final stage of editing. So it's been a process that's taken some
you're
time.
You're in it?
I am it. It's my story.
Your story.
It's my story about
fantastic.
Growing up, you know, Orthodox, and how we used to play stickball, and all the way my passion for baseball. It hasn't waned. And, you know, there's a lot more to it. My passion is really pretty intense. How I eventually got to play professional baseball in Israel. So it's just an interesting story.
When's it coming out?
It's in the final stage of editing now. That's as much as I really know. At this point, the filming on my end is over. I don't know when it's going to be out, but all I know is from him. I spoke to him this morning, and he said that the final stage of editing it.
You better let us know.
So I will.
Or you send everybody to go see it.
Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is exciting.
There is another movie called Holy Land Hardball about the league.
What's it called?
Holy Land Hardball. And actually, I've spoken about it in Concord at the Israeli Film Festival last year, and it was sold out. It was sold out there. We're standing room only, actually.
Can we get that on Blockbuster?
You know what? It was on the Major League Baseball channel just a couple weeks ago, and it's shown all over the country, and it's a great movie. Matter of fact, we might be showing it here. I spoke about the Israel Baseball League here at a synagogue in, I think it was Manchester or Nashua. And they said, a couple of people who saw the Concord movie said, you know, we'd love to bring it down here. So Jeff Hastings, who I mentioned I played with, said, you know, they have a great auditorium at where he teaches at Deerfields.
High school.
That he'd look into bringing it there.
Fantastic.
Speak there, and we maybe bring a couple other players who played with us and who are in the movie. I'm actually not in Holy Land Hardball, but it's about the league. I was asked not to be in it because of the other movie that we're making. But I speak about it's a great movie about the league.
So what's the other movie going to be called? Do you have a name for it yet?
No name. He's struggling with that one. It's a tough one.
We're
trying to figure that one out.
Well, do let us know.
I will.
Do let us know.
Absolutely.
We have about 5 more minutes, and I wanted to just ask you, are you still playing today? And is, you know, this is clearly
this
like your real really strong passion.
It is.
Is it your profession?
Not anymore. Now my profession is I do work trying to in Boston. My focus is the greater Boston community, but also Massachusetts, where I try to build a support for Israel, more in the realm of politics and getting people to understand how great a country Israel is on many levels, not just politically, but also economically. It's what they've accomplished is miraculous. And they have so much in common with America, with its democratic values. I just want to make sure people know that. So that's what I do professionally now. The league ended in 2007, but they're reviving it with some very serious high-level competence.
Tell us about that a little
Marvin Goldklang is one of the people behind it. He owns a few minor league teams. He's part owner of the Yankees, so he has a lot of experience in doing this. So he's behind it. And a guy named Jeff Rosen, who was involved in the initial league, and he's a businessman from Florida. He owns the Maccabi Haifa basketball team, so he's been involved in living here and having a professional sports team there, and he's doing a great job with them. So they're working together. I think they're doing feasibility studies to see how to make sure it's marketed properly, not just to the Americans there, but to make sure the Israelis there have an appreciation for the game and there's a grassroots infrastructure for an amateur levels to make sure that feeds into having a professional league in Israel.
Well, I can't wait till it gets really gets going over there. It'd be really fun.
Yeah.
I was, you know, when I was looking up some things on the web about you, I noticed that in the Israel Baseball League, they have a section about biblical baseball, and they cited some sightings from the Bible. So I thought I'd read a couple of them.
Sure.
Do you mind?
Go for it.
I thought it was kind of cute. You know, to prove that, you know, baseball's been around for a long time, right?
Absolutely.
So here's a quote from Samuel 2. And Avner said to Yoav, "Let the young men arise and play before us." And there's one from Kings 1, and he set the bases. And then Samuel 1 goes on and says, "Seek out a man who is a skillful player, and I see they found you." And Deuteronomy says, "Who can stand before the giants?"
Yeah, see, so baseball is not just invented by Doubleday a hundred years ago, 120. It was actually invented in biblical times. They already had an appreciation for the game. So,
what do you want to tell us for your closing remarks? First of all, how to get in touch with you.
If you want to get in touch with me, my email address is my last name. It's Alexenberg, Alexenberg, at Comcast.net. If you want to read about my experience in the baseball league, I have a blog that I sort of did before we actually played until through the playing days, and that's at Alexenberg, my last name, at blogspot.com. And I'll make sure I'll let you know when the movie gets out. So.
Yeah, definitely. We forgot about a mascot. Do we have any Israeli mascot?
You know what? There were some really great. The Blue Sox had a great baseball head with baseball Blue Sox coming out of the. He was a great mascot for the Beit Shemesh team. Pioneers, I don't think we had one. We struggled. But it was an amazing. It was, you know what? Overall, I mean, I couldn't have asked. It was, if you couldn't have scripted this to be more unrealistic, that all this came together for me. Now, I mean, playing baseball in the Shomer Shabbos League in Israel, you know, in my 40s with Dan Duquette as the guy who gives me a contract and manages the league, and Kenny Holtzman and Von Bloomberg and Art Chamsky, these are the managers who were my heroes growing up. And it was remarkable. It really was. And I made a lot of great friends, and it was a great time. And seeing the kids, you know, being able to, the Israeli kids, it was so much fun to see how much they loved the sport when they came to the games, and being able to sign autographs for them. There were so many great, great stories we don't have time for, but maybe another time. A lot of great things happened that summer.
Well, all right, we're definitely going to have you back, because we know you have. There's another side of you, and we're going to keep that a mystery. So we'll look forward to talking to you again, and we're going to turn now. We should have had you. You know, if we knew known you were yeshiva bucher there, we would have had you do the parsha. But
I just want to say thanks a lot for having me. You guys do a great show, and I really appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. I learned something. Maybe I will be able to look at baseball for 5 minutes.
I'm bringing Sonia. You know, every year I try to go to the Pride on my birthday, which is in July. And one year I went there, and actually they sing Hatikva. They have Jewish what? Pride Night, right? Okay. Chabad sponsored. Wow. And they sing Hatikva. And my name was up there. Happy birthday, Rachel. I was really excited. So we're going to get you out this year, Jewish Pride Night, July 26th. You're coming out.
Put a Red Sox we'll meet you baseball there. Cap on it.
That's right.
Bezrat Hashem bli neder.
Okay, so our parsha, our Torah portion of the week,
is Vayikra, which is Leviticus. And the question is, why did God command that we offer korbanot? Mean, the best translation for this would be offering to God. What is the purpose of this form of serving God? And Maimonides explained, deep-rooted customs and beliefs cannot be uprooted overnight. It would have been futile for the Torah to command the Israelite slaves to suddenly cease all form of worship that they had become familiar with in Egypt. For this reason, the Torah permitted those forms of worship that were practiced in those times. However, the Torah required that everything be done for God alone. In this way, the nation will be educated and wend away from idolatry without being stripped of those methods that they were accustomed to use to express their spiritual feelings. It is unreasonable to expect that one who grew up as a slave laboring with mud and bricks should one day just wash his hands from the dirt and straight off, without any preparation, do battle with the giants. Therefore, God did not...
Giants? Did you say the giants?
Yes, again. Therefore, God did not bring the people into the land of Israel right away and did not lead them the way of the Philistines. Similarly, it is unnatural to one who is accustomed to many forms of service and activities to ingrain that they are like unquestionable laws that one should suddenly desist from them. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. And we are Rachel and
Sonia.
Again, this is Israel is Real. You can reach us at www.israelisreal.weebly.com. I know it's a funny website with the Weebly in there, but, you know, it's memorable. Israelisreal.weebly.com. You can email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com. We thank Ari Alexenberg for being here with us. We really learned a great deal, and Sonia especially, who will be out there at the game. And you can find him again at alexenberg@blogspot.com, alexenberg@blogspot.com, or reach him at alexenberg@comcast.net, alexenberg@comcast.net. Do look out for the movie. And we're really excited about that. So we thank you, Ari, for being here.
Thank you.
And our sponsors, Vision, Vern Main, and Rachel Music, R-A-H-E-L music.com. This is Israel is Real, WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk.
You to the news of the day,
because communication is